Hello,
Blog Talk Radio.
Darius Mayhew. Sorry, I'm a little bit behind time here. And welcome again to our call for today. Today is July the 12th, 2021. And what a marvelous and glorious time it is for all of us. And today, of course, we have our meditation with Hari Das, a.k.a. Dr. Jerry. So let me go ahead and bring him in so we can get started. Thank you so much for your patience and for being here. So here we go. Let me go ahead and bring him through. And hold on 1 second. Okay, very good. I'm going to just do this real quick. And hopefully he knows that I'll be calling from here, which I'm sure he knows. All right, here we go.
Hello, Jane.
Good day, Hari Das, Dr. Jerry, and welcome to our meditation call with you today.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Everyone is here, and we are very ready for you to be here with us to help us, again, to understand more about meditation, the importance of it, and of course, we love all the energy that comes forth from you and the words of wisdom that you share with all of us. So we're all very familiar with you, Hari Das. Maybe just a quick little bit of info, perhaps, coming from you, and then you could take, and then we'll let you go ahead and take it away. So I'll go ahead and do that right now. Namaste to everyone. Namaste to you as well. Hari Das, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Jane. Namaste as well. Last time we had questions we opened up with, and it took quite a bit of time, took away from the actual meditation practice. So maybe this time we'll go ahead and proceed with a little bit of, I think it's really important to do a little bit of review. By the way, am I clear? Because I am on a headset, and sometimes it goes out if the...
Oh, this is perfect. This is perfect. Yeah.
Okay, good. a little review just to remind us of why we meditate and some of the basic philosophies and some of the basic principles. And then we'll do a little bit of a meditation, and then perhaps if there's time at the end, we'll open up for some question and answers. And I think why we meditate is so important right now. Throughout the ages, this is something meditation and spiritual practices have been done as long as there have been civilizations. And I think it's more important now at this time in this planet than it has been certainly in any recent history because of where we're at in the world, where we are in terms of our transition. And I think it's very important all of this family knows, and I can speak freely with this family because you're attuned more closely than people. If I were to bring a group of people off the streets, they wouldn't have a clue what I was talking about. So I really appreciate this family and all of you on this line because you've been attuned to your spirit and to your spiritual practices by following Jane and Zora and Zarea and these teachings. And Jane is great at putting teachers in front of you. And so those of you that are here are more advanced. And I don't say that in terms of to create a distinction, a separation. I just say that in terms of just the vibration of the folks on this line can be very clear, and we can connect very directly, and I really appreciate that. So, I'm very grateful to be here. And I think it's so important that we understand we're talking about moving into a different world. And some of that, of course, is material, and we're looking at that, and we're looking at things related to that, and we're looking at humanitarian projects and things of this sort. And we know that there's many things that are battling against us. And I think it's really important to realize, but not dwell on it, that the world is attempting as a whole to transition its vibration. And part of this relates to the fact that, according to, you know, ancient knowledge in the Vedas, and I've spoken of this in the past, how everything is polar. There's polarity in creation. And that was the mechanism for creation. The positive and negative polarity helps this creation to be in existence. That's why there is male and female. That's why there's night and dark. And that's why there's good and evil, actually, hot and cold. All of these things are polar. The DNA is a spiral. Earth spins. The Earth rotates around the sun. The entire Milky Way galaxy is spinning around itself. And it's also spinning around the center point of the universe, that creation point, that source point. That point that's recognized in the ancient Vedas as God, the ultimate reality. And the seers and sages throughout time in India came up with the cycles of time, the yugas. And Kali Yuga would last 1,296 years. They were able, by tracking stars and through intuition and meditation and certain practices they were able to apply to determine that. And the next step is Dwapara Yuga, and that's 2,592 years, so literally double. And the next stage would be Treta Yuga, 3,888 years. And the final one is Satya Yuga, which is 5,184 years, four times longer than that of Kali Yuga. So the total is 12,960 years. So every 12,960 years, we essentially, and the reason there are these yugas, is that we go further away from that source point because we're rotating, or the entire universe is rotating around that creation point. And as we get further, and the furthest point from that, which would be the spiritual energy, that furthest point will be the depth of Kali Yuga. Now, some of the recent knowledge and of course, things that you can look up about it, say we're still in Kali Yuga. But some of the yogis in the lineage that I belong to realized that their calculations were off, and that actually we moved out of Kali Yuga in the 1800s, because Dwapara Yuga is the age more of energies. Kali Yuga is an age of darkness, pure darkness. People don't understand energies. They live a very mundane, gross physical life, just existence. It's kind of a lower chakra existence between the being in the lowest chakra, just survival, food, shelter, that kind of thing. The second chakra being more sexual creation, things like that. The third chakra being more dominance and business and that kind of thing, you know, dominance in the world. And that's more the lower chakra energy, the Kali Yuga. But we moved out of Kali Yuga into Dwapara Yuga in the 1800s and the late 1800s. And so it was around that time that Mahamuni Babaji, or Mahavatar Babaji, as Yogananda gave that name to Babaji, that Mahamuni Babaji called Lahiri Mahasai to his cave in the Himalaya. And at that time initiated Lahiri Mahasai into Kriya Yoga. And Lahiri was a householder. And prior to that, all of the people that had Kriya Yoga and access to it were renunciates, the people that were in the forests and living in the caves, and possibly swamis and yogis, people that were actual, you know, renunciates. But because we moved from Kali Yuga to Dwapara Yuga, Babaji knew it was time to bring someone to him to initiate them, a householder, into Kriya Yoga. But he had certain very specific guidance for who would qualify, because Kriya Yoga is an ancient science, goes back, it's timeless. Just like Babaji is timeless, and it's always kind of been handed down from generation to generation of yogis. But it was time to bring it out, because it's time for the world to evolve. So that evolution of the world spiritually started in the late 1800s. And then, because people were in that state, caught between that dross Kali Yuga energy, that not understanding really the spirit, the essence of spirituality, and now moving into an age of energies, that's when the discoveries of electricity and telephone and, you know, and a certain military prowess and all of these energies, the reason it became military prowess is now there were these energies, and yet still the consciousness, by and large, was dross, was survival and sex and business and domination and things like that. So it creates a very difficult time when you're transitioning from Kali Yuga to Dwapara Yuga. So we still see that in the world that we're in. Even though we're constantly moving closer to that source point, we still see this tug of Kali Yuga, this resistance, people that actually do want to dominate and control and pull us back under their control that they've had for centuries. But we're really at that point where we're breaking free of that, and it's an energetic that is dictated to us by our place in the universe. And so for those on this call, we understand the importance of tuning ourselves to that. There are some people out there that are totally not tuned to it, that because of their inability to tune toward it, they miss it. And in this lifetime, they will likely miss it altogether. But those of you on this call have an opportunity, through knowing where you are and who you are, to attune yourself to the vibrations that are coming to this planet, to us, to elevate us. And a lot of even the material things on this planet are moving so that it's more balanced, and, you know, the humanitarian things that we all talk about. And it's very important that we understand that we, as living, breathing souls, need to have our vibration match up with that. And I've even heard, like, when we go in, they will have things to tell what our vibration is. And does that mean they will send people with a lower vibration walking? I don't know. I can't answer that. But it's really, we're really better off attuning to ourselves, attuning to the vibrations that are being sent to us, and elevating ourselves, especially at this time. Now, there are many reasons to meditate, from for health reasons to being more calm and have less fear and all of those kinds of things. But I think right now, and I think you might understand through what I just talked about, why it's so important right now. And that's why, you know, Jane has had me on these calls. That's why we're doing this. And it's a little bit of a difficult position to be in, because meditation is such a personal thing. Just by its very nature, it's about going inward. So to do this on the phone is kind of difficult, and I can't sit there with you and, you know, kind of see where you're at. And that's why last time I wanted to open up with questions to kind of understand where everyone was at, because I think it's really important to go from there, from where people are at, and let's take the next step, because it is a step-by-step journey. And it's a journey that's not encouraged in the outside world. What's encouraged in the outside world is going out. You're constantly pulled out from yourself. If you look at the TV, in fact, Paramahansa Yogananda called TV Satan in the modern world. Because back in his time, TV was just getting started, and you know, it was exciting. Wow, you know, we don't have to listen to the radio anymore. We can sit here and look at this tube. And Yogananda recognized it, and he called it Satan. Why? Because it pulls you out of yourself. Your focus now, instead of focusing inside, goes outside, and it's so compelling, it keeps you focused on that. And so in today's world, we have much more than just TV. We have the internet, we have social media, we have all of these things tugging at our attention, constantly pulling us out. And much of it, unfortunately, is agenda-driven. Much of it is fear-based. Much of it has to do with getting your attention to benefit something or somebody. And so they pull everybody around, literally by nose rings, and nobody's aware of it. And they move the masses of people that way. So in order to break free from that, you need to understand the basic principle of meditation is to bring the energies back into yourself, to recognize who you truly are, and to get the energies flowing again in you. And you are much more amazing and much more powerful indeed than any of the energies that are trying to pull you out. And your ultimate joy, your ultimate happiness, your ultimate peace is all inside of you, not out there in the world. So it's real important to understand those fundamentals before we go anywhere. And that's why there are certain things that I go over every time. And bottom line, meditation is relatively simple, but it requires daily practice. So it requires commitment. And that's one of the things, that, again, back to how this is difficult to do on the phone, because I have to stress, I can't be there every day to help you to practice. So I really encourage those of you on this call to set aside a sacred time, because it is sacred. It's the time for you to pull back into what is sacred inside of yourself. And that is a time, and it's best to do it rhythmically, meaning pick a time. For me, there's a certain time in the morning that I go and I meditate. And there's a certain time at night that I meditate. And that time, my body begins to know that rhythm. So it's easier for me to sit at that time because my body is attuned to that rhythm. Our bodies are rhythm-based because we're a part of this universe. Night and day and everything, the seasons of the year, it's all rhythm. So you eat at certain times of the day. You're in the Chinese medicine, there's a clock that different organs are more active at certain times of the day. So if you pick a time, and it doesn't have to be one of the ideal times, it's better to just pick a time that's best suited to you, a time where you know you can be quiet for a few minutes, you know you won't be disturbed, and if there are other people in the household, let them know. This is my meditation time, and if you need me, wait until I come downstairs or come into the other room, whatever it is. So you actually know that you can sit and not be disturbed. That's important. And it's probably a good idea if you can create a space, and maybe you put a screen or maybe it's just in the corner of your bedroom or something, that is the space, because that space will eventually become, and it's all vibrations. We are all vibrating. The entire universe is vibrating. It's the quantum fields. We are all connected. Everything has a vibration. And so it just helps you to create that space that has that vibration of meditation. If you have a little room or something, I've got like a little cave, you know, that's kind of a little room. That's my meditation area. That's what I do in there. And I've got a sheepskin that I sit on because in the ancient yogis, they actually created a separation from the earth currents so you could be more internalized. So they made sure, and so Yogananda recommended a woolen blanket or something. If you can't sit cross-legged, you don't have to sit cross-legged. I do. I like it. It helps keep the energies going up rather than flowing out because we are an energetic being. So if you can sit cross-legged, it's beneficial for meditation, but not absolutely necessary. So if you can't, put a chair in that area. Cover it with a woolen blanket. That's your shield. That's insulating you from the other energy currents of the earth. And at that time, when you sit in that space, create something that attunes you to inside yourself. Some people may light a candle, and the soothing, you know, flame that's flickering has a certain calming effect. Some people burn a little incense, and the nice smell of sandalwood or whatever has a spiritually lifting effect. Whenever I would sit, and whenever I do sit, and when I would sit with Baba, he would chant the three chants that I've chanted before, and it creates a vibration of inwardness, because in the Sanskrit language, it is the foundational language of this planet. Other languages spun off from it, but Sanskrit is a language that the letters of the words actually have a vibration that means that thing. And so you create that vibration. And many other cultures have created, and there have been things that have spun off from that. Like there's a sect of Buddhism, Nichiren Shoshu Buddhism, that uses Nam-myoho Renge-kyo. And I see that as a vibration of the different chakras. So it's actually, there's one slightly missing symbols of the Nam-myoho Renge-kyo. It's Nam-mu. Nam, lowest chakra, mu, second, myo, third, mu, fourth, ring, fifth, kyo, sixth, third eye. Nam, myo, ring, kyo. So there's that sect of Buddhism that does that. It's a vibration that internalizes you. In Zen practice, in Zen Buddhism, they use breath and they do Zazen. Za on the inhale, Zen on the exhale. And it's, again, it's a vibration of interiorization. Zazen. Some of the ancient Christians practiced I am that. I am that. I am on the inhale, that on the exhale. Again, that's a vibration. Some of the Hindu sects use Paramahansa Yogananda use Hong Sa, Hong inhale, Sa exhale. Swami Muktananda Hum So. It creates a vibration, and you follow that inside. You see, it's instead of going outside and watching something outside, media, TV, whatever, you're internalizing. And if you practice it on a regular daily basis, you slowly, last time I talked about getting to know your spirit, because you begin to feel that dwells within you. You begin to know who the knower is. You begin to see, I am, you know, who are you? And you, who is beyond the I am? Who's saying I am that? Who is knowing these things? Because your spirit is beyond your mind, and it's much greater than your mind. And ultimately, meditation is beyond concepts. It's beyond thoughts. It's beyond theories. It's beyond all of that, beyond scripture. It's beyond all of these things that our mind can get attracted to and absorbed in. But who you really are, and who, when the body drops off, you will recognize as you, it's better if you have a relationship with yourself before you drop the body, because you have that understanding, you have that peace. You understand there's no death. You understand where your joy comes from. You understand where you are now and where you're going, and that you understand that connection to all things, that you're actually one with yourself and this world and with all that is, with the entire universe. And from that place, there's a great understanding that you are a perfect being. You are tranquil. You are a god and a goddess. You are that. So it truly is worthy. It truly is great. And it's really, really important that we practice this and do it on a daily basis and get to know your spirit. And I recommend having your notepad next to you, because as you meditate in whatever you practice, whether it's hum on the inhale and sa on the exhale, and you don't say the words, or hum so, you don't say that, you think it. Because the sound is actually subtle. It's a sound that's made as the energy moves in your spine. And as we inhale and exhale, breath is spirit. Inspire, it's a Latin word, is related to spirit, spiritus. And it's what in the Bible it says God breathed the air into the nostrils of the creation that God made, and it all has to do with air, spirit. So as you inhale, and I know this from functional medicine, there's movements, there's energies as you inhale and exhale. And there's lots of energy pathways in your body, all over your bodies. Every organ is connected to energy pathways, every limb, all of our body energy is flowing. But as you focus and become more interior, you begin to recognize that the energy flows and you can attune to those. And in Kriya Yoga, you begin learning the Ida, Pingala, and the Shushumna. And the Ida on the left and the Pingala on the right, that's where most people operate. Inhale and exhale, inhale and exhale, and there's movement of energy there. But the Ida is negative and the Pingala is positive. And at some point in spiritual practice, it creates a spark that ignites the Shushumna, which is the central channel in the spine. And now that's when you begin your serious spiritual journey, because you begin unblocking the karmic blocks, the knots, the samskaras that are locked in your spine from past actions that may take many lifetimes to unravel, and you begin to actually, energy begins to be focused, more focused in the Shushumna, clearing them out. And along the way, sometimes you can attract things to you based on that karma clearing out. Just like we, as the earth is circling around the central point of the universe, can attract things to us because we are, the energy's inbound and the energy's elevating us. And if we're attuning to it, sometimes, you know, you might have days you feel low energy, or you feel sick or things like this. The physical body has to catch up with this energy, and it's not always easy. So if you're attuning yourself internally to that energy, you're helping it. And so you're in a much better place. And if you can practice this on a daily basis, really, really important. So for now, I've done my typical Baba chants that I really like. And I do that before my meditations. There's three of them. But I'm going to change it up a little bit just to help you understand. You don't have to learn those particular chants that I do to attune myself. I talked about Nam Myoho Rinpoche Cho, so we could do that. I've also done Om Namah Shivaya. It's another one that is chakra-based and has an energetic according to your chakras and a vibration to help take you up the spine and down the spine. We've done that on past calls. So right now I'm going to kind of lock in on one, and we'll practice it a little bit. I'll say it, and then just follow the vibration. And whatever I choose here, just follow the vibration, listen to the sounds, and attune to those sounds. Because these are ancient sounds. And the sounds actually mean something related to the energy inside of you. So it helps to interiorize you. And then after I finish, then whatever practice you choose, whether I am that, I am on the inhale, that on the exhale, or whether it's even za-zin, za-inhale, zin on the exhale, don't say it, just think it, hong sa. So whichever you like, the key is that you gently, mentally follow that. Inhale and exhale. And you'll notice that it slows down. It might start where you're actually breathing, you know, several times a minute, maybe 12, 15 times a minute. You know, you could be more agitated. And then as you're doing it, you could get down to, you know, maybe 7 times a minute. Or you could even get down to 5 a minute. Don't think about that. Don't try to do that. Don't hold your breath. Just let it flow with those words. And what that does is it attunes you to the energy flow that's happening inside your spine, and it's miraculous. It helps to unlock you to yourself, the awareness of you to you, if that makes sense. So at the end of the meditation, you may have feelings, you may have thoughts, you may have something that occurred to you, you may have something. It's a good idea to write it down and keep a journal of your meditations. The other thing that I like to encourage people to do is you sit, gently lift your eyes, not forcibly, but it's the third eye area. It's the area in between the eyebrows. The reason for that is that as the energy flows up the spine, it flows to that area magnetically. It reaches the area of the medulla oblongata, and then the focus is toward the third eye. It's kind of a reflection. So as it comes up the spine and achieves medulla oblongata space, the pineal gland is right there in between the third eye and the medulla, and it draws that vision towards the third eye. So if you're kind of lifting your gaze a little bit, you'll have more of a magnetic influence on the energy to pull up. So that's another thing to utilize as you're sitting. So I really think I'm going to go ahead and do the three chants because that's my mainstay. And then some of these times maybe we'll do a Nam-myoho Renge-kyo, or Om Namah Shivaya, or anything else. But it's all just to attune us. But the three chants, the first one is about the aspects that we can put into vibration. Creation is, or God, or the universe. It's everything that can be, because God, actually creation, mother, father, God, creator, is formless. You can't see God. It's a formless energy. And but these sounds attune to that energy. And the second one, it's about the sound of Om, which would be the way that God communicates, or spirit communicates into manifestation. So in the beginning was the Word in the Bible. In the beginning was the Word. And that Om is that vibration that allowed this creation to take place. So that second chant is about kind of invoking Om so we can follow it back to the source, back to where we came from. And sometimes in deep meditation, you can actually begin to hear that vibration of Om, or you can begin to see the visions, the actual picture of the third eye. If your vision is lifted a little bit, it's a beautiful, like a laser blue color, with in the middle a bright white, just a laser white light right in the middle, and that is the third eye manifesting as you're beginning to see it, because you're recognizing and being your spirit. We'll go ahead and the third one. I'll say the third one is the universal prayer, and the universal prayer is lead me from truth, or lead me from untruth to truth, from darkness to light, from death to immortality, and kindly appear within me as me. So that's the universal prayer. So I'm going to do those three. Then we're going to sit and meditate. Let's try to go 10 minutes. Typically, I just go 5. So I'm going to stretch it a little bit, because I really think 10 minutes is a good time to begin with, if you can. And one of the things that I really want you to understand is the brain will have thoughts. Don't just throw the thoughts out because you're sitting and trying to interiorize and you might start thinking, what are you going to make for dinner? Don't just throw it out or get mad at yourself. Observe it. Because remember, you're learning to know who the observer is. So as you have that thought, you could think to yourself, well, who's thinking that thought? Who is thinking that thought? So use it for a meditation practice. So you even have that thought. So people tend to just, their minds just constantly think. Observe it. And if you observe it, it'll go away. It's like, wow. And then you'll feel the silence. And then just go back to, so, zen, whatever you choose. Here we go. I'll look at my clock. Okay, for my time, it's right at 5:40, so we'll meditate until 5:50, my mountain time. Just allow your body to feel totally relaxed. If you have any tension anywhere, just maybe gently tense that part of your body and release it. And just focus on the inhale. Come on the inhale and so on the exhale. Then I'm going to wrap up with the chant that's about bowing. But keep in mind that bowing is bowing to the self, which means that you're sublimating your physical manifestation to who you really are. So Muktananda used to say, I bow to the self, who is the self of all. So it's a recognition of your true reality. Namo. Namaste astu sahasra krita punachavyo api namaste namo postarasta Krista taste namastu te sarvata eva sarva I know I said maybe we could do some question and answers, but I really think it's so important to stay with where you are right now for a little bit, maybe write something, but rather than letting your brain be pulled out into some question and answer session, stay internal just for a few more minutes, even 5 more minutes, even just between you and your notepad, or you and your thoughts. Maybe you've evoked a feeling of peace, a feeling of love, a feeling of completeness, or just a knowing of how special you really are and how you really meant to be here. And stay with that feeling. Get to know that feeling, because that's really you. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap up with this, and I look forward to our next call. Thank you, Jane. God bless you. God bless this entire family. I send my love to you. Many, many blessings.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste. And we are very grateful. Mm. Thank you, Arita.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let us all stay as I close our line. Be still. Namaste.